turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Book of Ephesians, chapter 5. We'll read one verse. Ephesians 5. And we'll read verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. In the book of Ephesians, Paul begins with the doctrinal, and then from there proceeds to the practical, which is simply the application of the doctrinal. In chapters 1 through 3, he deals with the doctrine of the grace of God, in particular chapters 1 and 2. He shows there the riches and the blessings that the child of God has because of God's grace. And then in chapters 4 through 6, he deals with the practical aspects of these truths. And grace is a practical truth. Grace, of course, makes a difference in our lives. The practical side of that is grace compels one to live the difference that grace has made. The two main divisions of the book of Ephesians are the position and wealth of the saved due to the grace of God, and then the corresponding life that the saved individual is to live. So really the theme of Ephesians is God's work for us and in us, and then our response to it, or how it should correspond in our lives. Again, in the first portion of the book, in chapter 1, Paul speaks of how that the saved individual has been blessed with heavenly blessings. We see that in Ephesians 1 and verse 3. All of this is to be to the praise of the glory of His grace. We see that in Ephesians 1, verse 6, Ephesians 1, verse 12, Ephesians 1, verse 14. Then he goes on to chapter 2, and he speaks of the great change that has taken place in the life of the saved individual. And that change, of course, is a result of the grace of God. He continues in chapter 3 to mention some of the blessings of salvation, and then he closes there with prayer for the people. In the second portion of the book, there, beginning with chapter 4, there are at least 35 directives relating to the saved individual's responsibility to conduct themselves in a way that would correlate to being saved by the grace of God. He begins this section of the book, chapter 4, verse 1. Again, the practical section, he begins with a plea. He says, I beseech you, or I beg you, please. The fact that he begins this way is indicative of his own spirit, also of the urgency of the matter of which he writes. Our text in Ephesians 5, verse 15, is in the middle section, or the middle portion of this practical part of the book. He says, see, that is, make certain, see to it, that ye addressing a personal, individual responsibility and duty. See that ye walk, speaks of the way we live our life, circumspectly. That is, see to it that you are very cautious, that you are very careful in the way you live. Be watchful. Be on guard. Always be alert. Always be attentive. Walk circumspectly. That is, we are to be alert, attentive. We're to show vigilance. Circumspectly also requires accuracy. We're to walk precisely. We're to walk accurately. It is as if in the very middle of this practical portion of the book, there is this sign, caution. And that's what Ephesians 5 verse 15 is basically saying. Caution. Right in the middle of the practical section, right in the middle of all of these directives, there's this sign, caution. We want to speak tonight on the need of extreme caution. The need of extreme caution. The Bible is a book filled with words of caution. You and I, of course, are very accustomed to seeing words of warning. We see them every day in our lives. A vehicle makes frequent stops. That's a word of caution. It's a word that we need to be alert. You see a sign that says two-way traffic ahead. That's a word of caution. Construction zone. Word of caution. Word of warning. Trucks entering highway. Again, another word of warning. Hot surface. Word of warning. Wet floor. High voltage. On and on and on we can go. But we're very accustomed to seeing words of caution. Words of warning. These words are there to advise us that there is a degree of danger, that there is a possibility of something happening. There is a possibility of danger. There is a possibility of you and I suffering harm or even death. They're to advise us basically to pay attention and to take caution, to proceed with caution. They're for our own safety. They're for the safety of others. And they're also so people don't get sued. But when we see such warnings, we'd be absolutely foolish to completely ignore them and not to take any precaution whatsoever. And Paul wrote, walk circumspectly, not as fools. That is, if you do not take caution, you walk as a fool and not as wise. In our daily lives, there are also warnings that really seem silly and senseless. Almost everything has a warning label, and many of them are what you and I would consider to be ridiculous. But they're there because somebody did the thing it's warning against. On a baby stroller, it says, remove child before folding. Now you would think, well, yeah, but obviously someone didn't. on one of those cardboard car shields. Do not drive with sun shield in place. Obviously, someone has tried that. And we think, well, that's senseless. My favorite, an electric drill. This product is not to be used as a dentist drill. Somebody actually tried to fill someone's tooth with a drill. I mean, or they thought someone would. Sleeping pill may cause drowsiness. An iron, Brother Mark Jr., this was written for him. Never iron clothes while unbody. You know, all kinds of warning labels that seem silly, useless. A children's Superman costume. And we had a kid in our neighborhood that actually broke his arm. Wearing this garment does not enable one to fly. And we had a kid dress up in a Halloween costume, jumped out the window, broke his arm because he thought he could fly. The chainsaw. Do not attempt to stop with hands. Obviously, people have done those things. These all seem senseless. They somewhat humorous. But every one of them has basis. And you can be sure that every warning in the Word of God has a basis. It is there for a reason. None of the warnings in the Word of God are senseless. None of them are silly. None of them are without basis. Throughout the Word of God, we come across the word beware. Beware. That's a word of warning. That's a word that there is a possible danger. And we see the word throughout Scripture. Beware. Simply means be on guard. Watch out. Be alert. Be on the lookout. Be careful. Be cautious. Throughout the Word of God, we come across the word watch, which means to be observant. Again, to be on guard, to be aware, to be careful. We see the word awake. Again, be alert. Be attentive. We see the words take heed. What that simply means is pay attention. Take notice of things. Be mindful of things. And in our text, Paul said, see, make certain that ye walk circumspectly. He was saying all of these things. He was saying, Ephesians 5:15, he is saying, beware. He is saying, awake. He is saying, take heed, watch. He's saying all of these things in one verse. He is saying, conduct your life in a very deliberate manner, step by step. All that we would learn and that we would live, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now, these cautions throughout the Word of God are relevant to the life that we live. Again, in the doctrinal portion of Ephesians, Paul addresses the wealth and the blessings of the saved individual that's due to the grace of God. And then beginning with chapter 4, he begins to instruct on how to live a life correspondent to those blessings. In other words, the saved individual is to live a life that corresponds to the miracle of salvation that has taken place in their life. Salvation is a creation miracle. Salvation is a resurrection miracle. Salvation is a transformation miracle. And we are to live the miraculous creation that has taken place in our lives. We are to live the miraculous resurrection that has taken place in our lives. We are to live the miraculous transformation that has taken place in our lives. So the miracle of salvation forms the basis of our life. Now, in this practical section of the book, Paul uses the analogy of a walk. Notice in Ephesians 4, verse 1, he says that we are to walk worthy of the vocation, of the purpose wherewith you're called. Salvation, we are called to a purpose. And we are to live our lives in a manner that's worthy of that purpose. In order to live that kind of life, in order to walk worthy, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Our walk is to be different than the world. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. That is, our lives are to be above the ordinary. Our lives are to be above that which is common to the world. Our lives are to be beyond the usual. Our lives are to be beyond the mainstream. And in order to do this, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, we are to walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us. That is, we're to walk in imitation of Jesus Christ. But in order to do this, take caution. Walk circumspectly. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. We see in Ephesians 5 and verse 8 that we are to walk in the light. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. But in order to do that, see that you walk circumspectly. We see it as a walk of wisdom. Here in Ephesians 5, verse 15, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So, a walk speaks of our way of life. A walk speaks of consistency. A walk speaks of progress. And our walk should be consistent. Our walk should be a matter of progress. What we have just read concerning the walk is to be consistent. It is to be progressive. But in order to do that, he says caution. In order to do that, we must exercise caution. So right in the middle of all of these directives, we have this sign in Ephesians 5, 15, caution. See that ye walk circumspectly. As you read on from Ephesians 5, verse 15, you see also that they would have a love for the word. They would have a joy in their heart. There in Ephesians 5, verse 19. In verse 20, that they were to be grateful. In verse 21, they were to be submissive to one another. And then all of this was to carry over into their family relations and into their home life. We see that from Ephesians 5, verse 22 through Ephesians 6, verse 4. And it was to carry over into the workplace, whether one be an employee or whether one be an employer. And we see that in Ephesians 6, verses 5 through verse 9. In other words, this life that you and I are to live, there is not any single area in which this life is not to be lived. When we're at home, we're to live this life. When we're out in public, we're to live this life. When we're in the workplace, we're to live this life. In other words, when we're at home, when we're out in public, when we're in the workplace, wherever we might be, there's also this sign, caution. Caution. See that ye walk circumspectly. When you're at home, walk in a cautious manner. When you are in the workplace, walk in a cautious manner. No matter where you are, there is this sign everywhere we go, and it says, caution. Danger ahead. And we would be wise to proceed with caution. The life that God has called us to live is the most profitable life that a human being can live. The life that God has called us to live is the most useful life that anyone can live. The life that God has called us to live is the most serviceable life that any human being can live. It is the most influential. It's the most worthwhile. It's the most meaningful. And it's the most thrilling life that you can live. It is a life lived far, far above the norm. But it requires caution. The truth is, the spiritually inattentive one, the spiritually thoughtless one, an indifferent one, the spiritually hasty and reckless one will not be able to live such a life. Will not be able to live the life that God has called us to live, the life that Paul describes here in Ephesians 4 through chapter 6. To live such a life, caution must be exercised. So all through the Bible, we have these signs. Beware. Watch. Awake. Take heed. And now we see that ye walk circumspectly. This warning is relevant to the danger. It's relevant to the danger. This warning here in Ephesians 5 verse 15 is no less so in the day in which we live. In fact, I believe we could add Hebrews 10 here, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. See that ye walk circumspectly, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So this warning is very relevant. The degree of danger, the degree of possible harm, the degree of possible ruin determines the degree of caution. So if we look at the dangers, we can see the degree of caution. I want to just consider a few things concerning the danger. Consider our sinful flesh. Because of the sinful flesh nature, extreme caution is necessary. There isn't anything more dangerous on the face of the earth than the nature of a sinner. Nothing more dangerous. Nothing more destructive. And we all have dwelling within us this sinful nature. Dwelling within us is a nature that defies God. Romans 7, Paul said, there's nothing good in sinful flesh. There's nothing good. If there be any good in any of us, it is due to the Christ nature. But in the fleshly nature, there's nothing good. It is a nature that defies God. Every one of us have within us a nature that defies God, that defies the ways of God. That's why we all rebel from time to time. It's in us. We have this nature that defies the ways of God. We have this nature that defies the holiness of God. We have this nature that defies the will of God. It is a nature that is set against God. Galatians 5 makes it very, very plain. So dwelling within us is a nature that is drawn to temptation. There is a part of us that is drawn to temptation. Dwelling within us is a nature that finds great pleasure in sin. It dwells within all of us. The only time we'll be free of this nature is when we're free of these bodies. When we go home to be with the Lord. Dwelling within us is a nature deceived by sin. A nature that sees sin as harmless. That's why people do the things they do. They see no harm. That's that nature that dwells within us. Dwelling within us is a nature that will always walk in accord with the course of this world. This nature that dwells within us is destructive. All you have to do is look around. Man ruins everything he touches because of his nature. We have within us a deadly poison. It'll poison all those around us if we're not careful. It'll poison our homes. It'll poison our churches. It'll poison every human relationship. This nature that dwells within us. Dwelling within us is a nature that is a threat to all that is good. Things can be going great. God is blessing. Couldn't go any better. But dwelling within us is a nature that is a threat to it all. It's a threat to all the blessings of God and all that which is good. This nature can, without warning, take hold of our minds. It doesn't say, mind, I'm giving you 5 minutes and then I'm going to attack. Without warning, this fleshly nature can take hold of our minds and spread its poison in our minds. It can take hold of our emotions without warning. It can take hold of our tongues without any warning whatsoever. It can take hold of our very behavior without any warning. So dwelling within us is a sinful, depraved nature. Wherever we go, it goes with us. Whether we go to our homes, there's this nature. Everyone in our home has this nature. So even if it doesn't rise up in us at that moment, it may rise up in someone else and spread its poison. No wonder we have this sign, caution. Caution. We can be in the workplace, and this nature without warning can take hold. We can even be in the house of God, and without warning, this nature take hold of our mind or of any part of us. So wherever we go, this nature goes with us, and it can rear its ugly head at any time. And it is a nature that can and will wreak havoc. It is a nature that can and will destroy. See that you walk circumspectly. Why should we be so cautious? Because we have this nature within us. But not only is it within us, you and I individually, it's within everybody we come across in any given day. It is within everybody that we have any dealings with every single day. That puts us in grave danger. This sinful nature. So we have this warning. Because of our nature, see, be certain that you walk circumspectly. But that's not the only reason for this warning. In addition to this nature, there is an enemy by the name of Satan. An extreme caution is necessary. The Bible tells us that he walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If you knew that somebody was out to destroy you, if you had any wisdom at all, you'd proceed with caution. And here is Satan. He can show up at any time. He has one purpose: to destroy. Jesus told Peter, he said, Satan hath desired to have you. That's true of every one of us. That's true of every child here. That's true of every man and woman here. Satan hath desired to have you. See, be certain that ye walk circumspectly. That you walk with caution. Because this devil, who walks about seeking whom he may devour. Destruction, ruin, devastation are always upon his mind. He may destroy someone else in order to get to you, but he's out to destroy. He is an enemy with purpose. He is an enemy with resolve. And he is absolutely tireless in his efforts. Absolutely tireless in his efforts to hinder. There is an enemy and he is out to hinder every one of us. And he's tireless. He's tireless in his efforts to turn aside the people of God. He has an extreme hatred for each one. He has not decreased in his hatred for God. He has not decreased in his hatred for God's people. And he has not toned down his purpose of destruction. He has not toned down any of his efforts to get an advantage over us. The Bible says that he has wiles, that is tricks. He has darts, poisonous arrows. And he has snares or traps. He's always endeavoring to oppose or to stop the work of God. You can be sure that any time God is blessing, the devil's going to show up. Maybe in any one of us, but he's going to show up. Because that's who he is. And therefore, we must proceed with caution. He seeks to provoke to wrong action. He is the solicitor to evil. He is an enticer to do that which is contrary to God. He is a provoker. He has many ways to provoke, but he is a provoker to disobedience. He endeavors to imprison each and every one. There's danger. So Paul says, see, make certain, see to it that you walk circumspectly. God works in our hearts. And whatever work God does in our hearts, the devil seeks to devour. He'll use anybody, he'll use any means to devour what God works in our hearts. Keep in mind, he's tireless in his efforts. You lay down to sleep, he doesn't. He desires to turn each one of us away from what's right and what is holy. He desires to turn us away from prayer, from the Word of God, from the ways of God, from the worship of God, from fellowship with the Lord. He desires to turn you away from anything that will draw you closer to God. If there's anything in your life that'll draw you closer to God, he'll be out to destroy it. He'll be out to oppose it, to hinder it. He desires to get you to look in the wrong direction, and then to head in the wrong direction. So we have this enemy dwelling within us and everyone around us is a nature that is in agreement with Satan. Do we realize that tonight? that dwelling within us is a nature that is in agreement with Satan. This is why Jesus said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Because at that moment, Peter was in agreement with the devil and was doing his bidding. That's a danger that we're always in. Dwelling within us is a nature that does the very work of Satan. Satan is not omnipresent. He does not need to be. Because dwelling within every human being is a nature that does his work. The danger is great. Dwelling within us is a nature that Satan uses for his purpose, for his advantage. So we have this enemy. We have a nature within us that is in agreement with the enemy. And all around us are these tricks of the devil. And that fleshly nature will fall for every one of them. It'll fall for them. Not only all around us are these wiles of Satan, but flying through the air are the darts of Satan. That's why we read in Ephesians chapter 6 that we're to take the shield of faith to ward off the darts. They're everywhere. They're flying everywhere. Wherever you go, the darts of Satan are flying through the air. Why, if there's arrows and bullets flying through the air and you just lollygag around, you're a fool. Walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. There are arrows, there are darts flying through the air that can strike us at any time. It'd be wise to be cautious. It'd be wise to exercise extreme caution. Again, the degree of danger determines the degree of caution. You know, in the summertime, I'm smart enough to know that when the sign says, slow down, bridges freeze before roads do. You know, in July, I know, you know, I can keep undoing speed limit. Doesn't apply. The degree of danger is not there. So the degree of danger determines the degree of caution. There is no greater danger than sinful flesh dwelling within and a devil roaming about and darts flying everywhere. And then in addition to that, he has laid his traps. They're everywhere. Now, if you know that an area of land is filled with mines, you're either going to stay out of that area, or if you have to go in that area, you are going to proceed with extreme caution. And we walk in a minefield every single day. A minefield that will destroy. A minefield that will bring destruction to our lives, to our homes, to our families, to our church. And yet some of God's people don't have enough sense to exercise some caution. You better be careful. The need for extreme caution. I ask you tonight, can you be too careful? I don't think so. Can you be too careful? God in His grace, God in His mercy He puts up these warning signs everywhere. Beware. Watch. Awake. Take heed. The Holy Spirit of God dwells within us. And the Spirit of God whispers in our ears, beware. Beware. You get around an individual and the Spirit of God says, beware. Be cautious. Be cautious. Oh, I thank God for His warnings. God warns us in many ways. So we have dwelling within us fleshly nature. Read Romans 7 over and over and over and over again. Every child of God can personally identify with Romans chapter 7. Paul is describing the struggle between flesh and spirit. We can all identify. But in addition to having that nature, we have an enemy, Satan. And that fleshly nature aligns with our enemy. And because also, not only do we have this nature and we have this enemy, but because of the world in which we live, we need to take extreme caution. The Bible speaks of the world. When we speak of the world, we're not talking about earth. I'm talking about creation. We're talking about a system. We're talking about a way of life. And the Bible many times uses the world to simply describe a system, a way of life. It is that world, that system, that way of life that we're not to love. And if we do, the love of the Father is not in us. You see, the world has a system, is under the dominion of Satan, that enemy. That enemy that our flesh aligns with. The world as a system is the embodiment of Satan's spirit. In fact, the world as a system bears the image of Satan. The Lord uses the word world as synonymous with the kingdom of Satan. He speaks of the world as the sphere of rebellion against God. And Christ continually warned His people concerning the world as a system. The world as a system, when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became incarnate, we read in John 10 and verse 10, the world knew Him not. World as a system, the world as a way of life knew Him not. It hasn't improved. The world still does not know Him. John chapter 7 and verse 7, Jesus speaking of the world, He said, me it hateth. Me, it hateth. Matthew 13 and verse 22, Jesus said that the cares, and the cares of the world is just our responsibilities in the world, and that doesn't necessarily have to be anything sinful about them. The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches or the deceitfulness of the material choke the word and made the hearer unfruitful. The very cares of this world, you take the cares of this world that aren't sinful, and the cares of this world choke spirituality. The cares of this world are a threat to spirituality. The more cares we take on, you better see that sign. Caution. Caution. The more responsibilities we take on in this world, you better read the sign. Caution. Because it's there. It's all through the Word of God. Jesus said in Matthew 18 and verse 7, "Woe unto the world because of offenses." The world is filled with offenses. Paul in Galatians 1 and verse 4 spoke of this present evil world. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 19, he said, "The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God." And in Titus 2 and verse 12, he linked together ungodliness and worldly lusts, worldly desires. Peter mentions in 2 Peter 2 and verse 20, the pollutions. And he's not talking about air pollution. The pollutions of the world. John informs us in 1 John 4 and verse 3 that the spirit of Antichrist even now is already in the world. And in 1 John 5, verse 19, he says, "The whole world lieth in wickedness." And according to Ephesians chapter 2, what did we do before we were saved? We walked according to the course of this world. And that sinful nature that still dwells within us still walks after the course of this world. This world. This world that has accepted and embraced the programs and agenda of Satan finds God to be a nuisance. That's why man is attempting to remove God from everything. Because man finds God to be a nuisance. Man finds God to be an irritation. Man finds God to be very aggravating and an inconvenience. He sees God as someone who's always in the way of his own immorality and his own ways and his own desires. This world is filled with spiritual ignorance. It's so sad when you listen to people talk after a tragedy. Ignorance abounds. And I know they mean well. And I know they, and that's what's sad, they believe what they're saying. This world is filled with spiritual ignorance. And then there's spiritual indifference. And then there's the rejection of the truths of God that prevails and saturates the world. So within us and everybody around us dwells a sinful force. A sinful force that aligns itself with Satan. Aligns itself with the evil destroyer. And all around us are the wiles of this evil destroyer. And within us is a nature that'll fall for every one of them. Flying through the air are the darts of this evil destroyer, and laid very strategically in our path. are the traps set by the evil destroyer. And within us dwells a nature that is drawn to those traps. It's drawn to it. Not the spiritual nature, but there is a fleshly nature that is drawn to that trap. And our fleshly nature is, again, the Bible says in Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitful above all things. There isn't anything more deceitful than the heart. We have this nature that draws us to the traps of Satan. And that nature tells us, oh, everybody else has fallen in that trap. Not me. I can play all around it. I can walk in and out of it. It won't affect me. Oh, you fool. That's that nature. It's deceitful above all things. It ought to cause us to exercise extreme caution. On top of all of this, we reside in a world in which the current, in which the trend has always been since the fall, but it continues to get worse. The current and the trend is Antichrist. That puts you and I in danger. It is a world filled with deceptions, a world filled with perversions that our sinful flesh again is drawn to. It is a world, and in all of its ways, can ambush us at any time, can entrap us at any time. You see, you don't have to fall into what most people consider grievous sins. All sin is grievous. All you have to do is become entrapped. It can be anything. And you almost become useless in the service of God. The world at any time can imprison us. It can lay hold of us. In fact, every one of us, our minds to some degree have already been laid hold of. And it's sad. No wonder we see these signs. Beware. Caution. And Paul writes here, see, be certain, be sure to walk circumspectly, very carefully. Is that warning any less applicable today? No. I believe it applies more than it ever has. Give heed. Be alert. Be alert to the first uprisings of your flesh. Because your flesh will rise up at some point every single day. It'll rise up somewhere. Maybe just a thought. But somewhere, your flesh will rise up every day. And you need to be so aware that you always are aware when it happens. And you are to be so cautious that as soon as it happens, you begin to talk to God. Because you cannot. The results will be disastrous. You cannot let flesh get a foothold in your life. It'll ruin you. And that'd be bad enough. But I promise you, it will not only ruin you, you'll bring somebody else down with you. Oh, how cautious. How careful we need to be. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Don't live as if there's no danger. Don't live as if you don't have a care in the world. Because there's danger everywhere. And the greatest danger lives within you. Lives within you. Even when you go to bed and you close your eyes and sleep, the fleshly nature is awake. People have asked, do you think we'll give account for sinful dreams? Oh, yes, I do. Just because your eyes are closed doesn't excuse you. It's that depraved, sinful flesh. Oh, that we might see the danger. And how we ought to thank God for all the warnings that He gives us. He puts signs up everywhere. All through the Word of God, there's these signs. He uses other people to warn us. We see them fall immediately. That ought to warn us. That ought to serve as a warning to us. That could be me. I could have done that same thing. And if you think for one moment that you couldn't do the same thing, you are even in greater danger. Because without the grace of God, you'd be amazed. Shouldn't amaze us because of what the Bible says about our nature. But you'd be amazed at what you can do and what you will do if God doesn't keep us. So let us walk with caution. Brother Larry, if you come and lead us.